suburbs have been infected and the quarantine zone in the metro area has now been expanded as this pest keeps spreading. Now, cutting down infected trees is the main tool being used to try and stop the spread of the borer, and that's included significant trees in places like Kings Park. Is there another way? Well, Ian Daidle thinks so. Professor Ian Daidle, he's a forensic entomologist and head of research and education at Source Certain. Ian, good morning and nice to chat.
Yes, good morning, Nadia.
We are losing significant trees to this pest. Is there a better way to manage this?
Well, I'm sure DPIRD, the Department of Agriculture, is looking after it from their perspective, which is trying to keep an eye on it. But basically, we've come up with a solution to help significant trees. We're not purporting to have a solution. We're just purporting that we have a remedy for some of the trees that are so-called classified as expensive trees. I mean, the Lord Mayor has talked of one particular tree, for instance, which he thinks is worth $750,000, and is going to get cut down. Well, we may have a solution to save some of those more significant trees. But an overall fix, I don't think that's possible. I mean, there's never been an overall fix in the US, and there's never been an overall fix in South Africa and some of the African nations where it's already basically dispersed and distributed through. Now it's in Western Australia, so look out, Australia, I would say, at the end of the day.
Not the news that we want to hear. But Professor Ian Daidle, tell us then about what you've been working on, because this is all about wrapping an infected
yes.
tree. Just explain it.
OK, so we're a WA company, and we've been working with another WA company called Intercept Australia, and that's based at Bibra Lake. And pretty much what we developed for them was a plastic wrap that's a copper matrix inside an active copper compound inside a plastic matrix. And this is something that we wrap machinery in, for instance, that is going north. It's an anti-corrosion type plastic, which keeps things from getting rusty. It's also now used and been extended into food as a shelf life extender for fruits and vegetables. So we've been talking about this for a while, both Intercept Australia and ourselves, and we thought, why not with some of those trees that are infected and are important, why not wrap them in this plastic wrap? Now, this plastic wrap is wrapped around trunk and boughs, not twigs or anything like that, and it pretty much is then heat adhered to the trunk or the boughs of the tree. It's a mild heat, but it shrinks the plastic to the contours of the trunk and to the boughs, and pretty much excludes oxygen. That's one thing. So any of the borers that it does wrap around will have oxygen excluded, and insects like us need oxygen to breathe. And the other important point is that it's copper. So therefore, when it comes into contact with fungus, for instance, it pretty much kills it. So it's going to kill the fungus that these borers actually eat, which is the problem. The fungus is actually the problem because it kills the tree. It also excludes males. Now, females fly, males do not. So males have to climb the tree to get to it. Now, this system is reproductively different to just normal systems. It's a haplodiploid system. So females can produce males without sex. And pretty much they produce small batches of males, and then they can remate with those. And so the population gets bigger. But at some point, they actually have to mate with their diploid male counterparts. And if you can exclude the males from getting up the tree, and this is an old technique, in fact, that citrus weevil, for instance, are controlled in many orchards by wrapping trunks in certain products, which prohibit the citrus weevil from climbing up the trunk. And so this is the same premise, is to prohibit it from climbing up the trunk, the diploid males. So pretty much you might have a chance with good silver culture and also with wrapping of saving the tree.
So it kills the fungus and it basically kills the borer because it starves it of oxygen. Have you tested this on a tree infected by Polyphagus shot hole borer? You've not been able to yet?
No, we proposed it. We proposed doing a trial for free. If it works, it works.
Has anyone come back to you and said, look, let's give it a shot and see?
No one's come back to us. I put this up to the Lord Mayor of Perth, put it up to Department of Agriculture, DPIRD through a colleague of mine, but there doesn't seem to be any general interest.
What about the Agriculture Minister, Jackie Jarvis? Would you pitch it to her?
We will do. If we don't get any sort of resolve, I guess, on this issue. There's other people interested in the important shade trees of Perth, and, you know, maybe they have some authority in terms of saving a few of these trees. I mean, cutting down is the only way, real way, to get rid of this, but it's only a control measure. It's not elimination.
No.
And the problem is what they do with when they cut them down and wood chip them, and if they don't make them directly into sawdust, then those wood chips are basically carriers, and the actual beetle can be translocated. You've got to remember it's the size of a sesame seed, so, you know, augering it through a wood chipper doesn't kill it.
Professor Ian Daidle is my guest this morning. He's a forensic entomologist. He's head of research and education now at a company called Source Certain. And his idea, saying test it, and I thought the government was looking at lots of, every option, different options to see if they can nip this in the bud, but not biting on this one at the moment. You mentioned there too about the mulching, because I spoke to somebody from the Department of Primary Industries a couple of weeks ago, and they did say, I thought, you know, maybe, you know, naively, that they were burning the infected trees, but they just mulched them. And you would, you know, made the point that this borer is the size of a sesame seed. Do you feel uncomfortable about that method?
I only feel uncomfortable because, you know, there's seven major councils in Perth that actually place large amounts of these wood chips in piles for the general public to distribute in their gardens. And I think this is a great thing because it's recycling those products. But the point is that if there's any shot hole borer in that, it's just translocating it from suburb to suburb. And especially if it's just out there for the general public to take, what stops someone from coming in from an outer suburb and collecting these wood chips and translocating them? You know, there's always that fear, but no one's telling us exactly what they do with the wood chips and whether or not they're wood chipping these infected trees, and whether or not those infected trees' wood chips are going to piles which can be distributed amongst the general public.
Well, and also they can't go beyond that quarantine zone as well, so we've got to make sure that those wood chips don't end up, you know, particularly in the southwest where I have no doubt growers there are feeling a little nervous, because then we hear you say at the beginning of this interview that we probably won't eradicate this. Are you seriously saying that it's near on impossible to get rid of this bug now?
Well, you're just looking at the history and legacies in other countries. I mean, it's a Southeast Asian pest. It's got into Africa, it's got into America, and they haven't been able to control it. Somewhat, in terms of, I think the Americans say around about 40% control, but that's not control. So in sense of elimination or anything like that. So, you know, I mean, what can we do? It's now into the Perth metropolitan area. We've got some of its favourite hosts of avocados and mangoes just on the outskirts of Perth. What's to stop it moving into those crops? I mean, the good thing about those farmers is they're very, very observant, and they're very, very wary of what happens in their crops. So hopefully they can, with good civil culture, keep an eye on this pest. But you know, it's just another pest that we have to contend with.
I'll leave it there, Professor Ian Daidle. Thanks for your time. A forensic entomologist, he's head of research and education at SourceCertain. Look, nothing wrong with throwing ideas around, right? That's what this show's all about as well. You know, let's discuss some of the alternatives. And in fact, a couple of you have sent me photos, and thank you. Obviously, looking at a couple of journals, but a few of you have actually sent me some pictures of tree banding that happens in Canada as a way of controlling cankerworms. Never heard of them. Not for the forest tent caterpillars, but for cankerworms, because it stops them climbing up the trunks of the tree to lay their eggs. So this system is used, obviously different and different pest and different controls. And I'm looking at that picture and I don't know if that is the same sort of band that Ian's talking about, but that theory is used, I guess, in that method is used in other areas. 1-300-222-720 is the number if you want to be part of any of the discussions we've been having this morning. And I will get to some more of your texts on that power surge that we were talking about